Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh Oimer. This was one of the times that are less known, less well known. He lived in Rome. Yeah, he's down in Rome. There were quite a few that know him.
Well, he also had his original living there as well, right?
Yeah, he was a Talmud of people like Reb Shimon ben Yochai.
And he was moved.
He was moved. He was imported or exported, depending on your perspective. And he lived in Rome. And it seems that he had a less than simple life in post-Churban Rome. So, let's see what he says, let's see if we'll understand. We don't know very much about him. Heavy Magdim Shol, he has three things. And if you know how to count, it's a problem counting. Either two or three. Two statements, three statements. Yeah, a few things to tell us. The first part of the Mishnah is Heavy Magdim Shalom L'chol Odom. There are two parts to this part of the Mishnah. The concept is saying Shalom Aleichem. And there are two points that he's telling us. Number one is that you should be Magdim Shalom. And number two is that L'chol Odom.
Going to.
Gemara says in Furish on this Mishnah that this comes to include, like Rabbi Yochanan says, La'olam, nobody ever got in the Shalom before him, even a goy. It was always Magdim Shalom L'chol Odom. Other Rishonim say even a Rasha, even a goy. Heavy Magdim Shalom. So there's two things. The one is that you get the first, you say Shalom Aleichem, try to get it in before he says you Shalom Aleichem. And that there are no limitations. This applies to all human beings. Chol Olam.
Even a Sonny.
Especially a Sonny, but we're talking about goy, like in Rome. Like if you see the Pope. So first you Magnum Shalom, then you spit. Or I don't know, maybe spit name Magnum, I don't know either, but B'chol Olam you Magnum Shalom. B'chol Olam. Okay, that's the first half of the Mishnah. Now the second two statements, or one statement, depending how you want to look at it, is the second half of the Mishnah. We have Zonov L'Arayis. A person should be the tail to lions. If we would say we have his own of Larye, so it would be like, you know, generally speaking, zoology, one lion has one tail. But how many tails do lions have? But anyway, it tells us to be a tail to lions. That's what it says. Check, it says about you too.
Sure.
Heavy son of the Arayis, you should be a tail to lions. Valti roish l'shu'olim. As opposed, shouldn't try to be a head for wolves.
Foxes.
Foxes.
It's shu'olim.
Shu'olim.
Foxes. Shu'olim.
Singular.
No, plural. Head of foxes.
Showing
your
foxes.
No. That's it. The mission's over. That's it. Sorry. Yeah.
I mean, it's simple, clear. The head and the tail means a leader or a follower.
Very good. What?
Because the translation you can also today, they say it's also a coyote. But I don't know if it's relevant in terms of the translation.
Very uninterested what exactly these animals are. And only to the degree that you know, I mean, what's the, right off the surface, what is he trying to tell us? Right? It's better to be a follower from the big people than the leader of the little people. Yeah. So you want to talk about the bigs and the littles. How many ways could you think of to say that besides Aryeh and Shuali?
As many as you want.
As many as you want, exactly. Unlimited. And the Chazal teaches us very, very clearly that language is important. And trying to find the most exact language and the most beautiful language and the most proper language is something that the Gemara teaches us as a responsibility. So, like, is this, it's like, this is the best way, and you have to say it this way. If you didn't say it this way, we don't get the point right. What do we want from the lions, tigers, and bears?
The animals doing something like that.
Oh, right.
And Arya
is? Arya. Arya is an important thing.
Yeah. Arya is pride, kingship.
Arya?
You just went through all things of crowns. He's called King of the Beast.
What?
Foxes so, sneaky.
Foxes?
Sneaky, they steal things.
There's another Mishnah where you have the Aryeh and the a Mishnah at the end of Kedushin where you have the Aryeh and the Shualim. The Mera says at the end of Masech Kedushin that he doesn't understand. The whole world was created to serve man, and man was created to serve God. So how is it that you never lo matzosi Aryeh Sabal velo Shual Chenveni? I never found an Aryeh that had to be a messenger boy, a carrier, whatever you call it, a mover. And I never found a Shual that had to be in the storekeeper. They get their panosa without any difficulty. And I have to be in his parnas bitzar. More explains Elo Shekapachti Esmaisai Asheshe. That was lashon over there. You could say that because of the various that I did, I lost my panosa. Now the panosa doesn't go so easily. In other words, the Kal v'chomer applies. Be'etzem, just like nature is all built, the whole world is built to seamlessly, without any difficulty, supply all of the reality and kiyum and health and wealth of all. So man shouldn't be different. He should be the most, the best. Like was in Gan Eden for Chet. But Chet is a very powerful instrument and causes results. And there's cumulative results starting from Chet Elimination down. So if you find that now it goes harder for you than it goes for foxes and lions, then that's the reason. But our mission is, so we've had this chavrusa before, lions and, instead of lions, tigers and bears, they have lions and foxes. But what? Shualim holchu boy. Shualim holchu boy. Shualim are always very negative.
Yeah, they want going through the wounds of the
Mikdash. Yeah, who's going through the wounds of the Mikdash? That was actually literal, also. The Tanoim that actually saw Shualim, physical Shualim, running through the base of Mikdash. Rekiva, the Chaverov, saw the Kiva in the Posek Yipshuta.
Real?
Surely. What? They're still running now. The Eish on top of the Mizbeach, when they traveled, so they put they had to cover it with a cloth. And so the Eish that came down in the Shemayim, they covered it with a cloth, they had over it. Under the cloth, there was a copper pot that they turned over upside down over the fire. And it says, V'ha'esh rivetz ke'aryeh. The fire was the way Aryeh sits. So the fire of the Mizbeach, the fire of Yarad and Shemaim, the fire of the Mizbeach, is referred to Aryeh. So, We've had them before. That the Aryeh is usually positive and the Shu'al is usually negative. Or always. Right, that follows. But B'cholayfin, we need to try to understand a few things in the Mishnah. Number one is, the difference, that's each part on itself. Magdim. What's important to me, Magdim? Before Magdim is Sholem. We always thought about saying Sholem Aleichem as a nicety. It's some type of a derech eretz. But, it's a big deal whether... Did anybody ever notice whether you said Shalom Aleichem or you said Aleichem Shalom? Is it something to make an issue out of? If it's some type of a tekes that people go through, it's the greeting tekes. So you do it this way, you do it that way. In addition to get involved with. What's the issue of Shalom Bechlam? And then what's the union of being Magdim Shalom? And then why here do we find L'chol Olam, which is something that you don't always find? So that's the first half that we don't know. So it's just Magdim we don't know, and Shalom and Kol Olam. That's all. All the rest we know.
Isn't there a certain kind of moral system? You would give Shalom to a person, you would borrow money from him,
at Eliyahu and Noi. Rav also, yeah. Then, the second half of the Mishnah. So we already said we don't want to, what do we need the zoology for? So obviously it's a mashal, but so what's the mashal? What's the nimshal? Who needs the mashal? This is a klal that we've used many, many times in mashalim, that if the mashal doesn't teach you something that I couldn't teach you by teaching you the nimshal, then unless this is a kid's book, then it shouldn't be there. Let's translate it into nimshal thing and see if we hear the same message that we hear now. Right? So if the Mishnah would say, heavy cotton shall be gdoilim, ba'al tiyeh godol shall be ktan. Is anything missing? Did you hear?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, what's missing?
Meaning.
What?
I don't know what it is, but it was missing.
No,
but...
If you just say big and small, it's more than just big and small. It can be small and good, and it can be big and bad. And there's a connotation of the Ari and a connotation of the Shaul, or Shaul.
What? Ma.
That one... Yes. The Ari is a king. Rightfully, because it rightfully is the strongest and rightfully does things, and the fox gets what it gets because it's sneaky and conniving and steals. So it's more than just big and small, it's big and right and small and not right.
If it would only be positive and negative that the Mishnah means, then we can go down that path. But unfortunately, to confuse the issue, the Rishonim bring the Gemara that applies this Mishnah to the concept that if you one of the Tanoim from the Sanhedrin, one of the Dayanim of Sanhedrin Gedolah, were left out for some reason, were missing, were sick, were unavailable, so you had to replace him. So you take the top of the Sanhedrin Katana and you tack him on to the bottom of the Sanhedrin Gedolah. And if he's going to come and tell you, can't put me on the bottom, I've been in the top of things. So you tell them the Mishnah, famous Mishnah.
This one.
That's it. Heavy zanav la'arayis, alti yavosh l'shuali. So we can't just go with good and bad.
Hillel Goldberg in his book on personal personalities, quotes, which is Russell Lanza explaining that the more the Mishnah uses language that catches our attention and educates us. So a line of facts that catches our imagination more than big and small.
That's one.
He said that from whose name?
Shosan.
Hard to believe.
There's also Rosh and Zanav. Rosh is just big and Zanav is just small. Because you could use toenail. You could say, his ear is higher, is bigger than the Rosh. The Rosh is like a significance. It's leading. And the Zanav isn't, is not after the small, even smaller things, but the Zanav is really at the end. It's the least active in the life of whatever it is that you're speaking of. It doesn't serve a purpose. The foot, the toenail does, and if he uses it for something, the Zanav is just really hanging out.
Excellent. I'll just, the Rishonim bring over here, just a very interesting concept. There's an important chazal for this. That the Aryeh likes to flag his tail over its head. And the Shu'al likes to park its head under its tail. So it certainly seems to be that the head and the tail is the primary issue. And the way that Shu'alim and Aryeh work with their heads and tails isn't a heads and tails issue. And if you want to get the heads and tails straight, so the marshal, that's exact marshal for this, is the Aryeh and the Shu'al.
Lion waves the tail over its head, but it's not the main thing. It's coming to sort of glorify and accoutrement. It's not the main thing. Where the Shu'al is putting his head underneath his tail, it's like the leaders of today. You know, they take balls all the time. But it's not that they're using their head. Their head's sort of there anyway.
I couldn't avoid seeing that nimshel very clearly.
There's also another difference. The lion is the
well, here, that's what I brought before, that it doesn't only apply to the good and the bad, or the Jew and the goy. It applies here, we said, even to something that really is just big or small, or a higher level and a lower level. A further problem we have is, what are these two concepts doing in one Mishnah? Whatever the first concept, Yimakon Shalom Chol Olam is, does that in any way relate to the concept of the second half of the Mishnah? And then again, it would be nice if we find the relationship of this Mishnah and the earlier Mishnah. So that's basically what we don't know. So let's see if we can make some type of a hakdama on the concept. We'll start with the first half. Heavy Maktim Shalom Chol Olam. We have three things that we want to talk about over there. First, let's, it's almost Shavuos, we're getting closer to Shavuos. The Shaila Sholem is a Shavuos. It's a Shavuos sugya. In Shavuos, we read Rus. And in Rus, we learn the Makor that it used to be the minig, Boyaz was Masakinit, that the Shaila Sholem should be B'Shem Hashem. B'Shem Bring from
Rechabal Hashem Hashem.
What?
Rechabal Hashem Hashem.
That's exactly Shani's Pesukim. But the so I'll bring from the Pesukim in Rus. So the greetings were said in the name of Hashem. The Shalom itself is a Shem Hashem. It's one of the emes, could be a very choshev thing, but it's not a Shem Hashem. Shalom is considered one of the kinuyim of Hashem. It says in Halacha that in a mikveh, in a swimming pool, you're not supposed to use the word shalom. Because it's b'cholayf in Hashem Hashem. It's a kinu relating to the Rebbein Hashem. The Boyaz was masakin that the greetings of one Jew to another should be mamish b'shem Hashem. They should find a way, like here are the examples, v'im ha'kreitzim Hashem yimochem. To find a way of using Hashem's name in your greeting.
This one seems kind of connected.
To what?
Tail, I'm thinking of the greeting.
Oh, the tail, forget about the tail. I mean, that's, yeah. We always try to work out a Mishnah first by the pieces and without looking at the other parts. And if we do it right, well, and then we do the other part right, then usually the connection becomes obvious.
Right.
But let's leave that. That was the third or fourth, whatever this question. Let's start with it. Heavy magdim shalom l'chol ova. B'chol oifen, the importance that we see from Boyah is that it was a takona. That it should be nikush shmur aleihem. We see that this is not just some type of a nicety. You're not going to use, it would be the biggest disgrace to the Shem Hashem, to make your calling cards and have the Shem Hashem and all the calling cards. But we're using the Shem Hashem as some type of a gesture of friendship. If it's just some type of a, like we said, it's a politeness, some type of a tekis, way people meet, so, you know, in some countries they kiss the hands, and some people they bow, and the other countries, I don't know what they do, right? And in this country they say Shalom Aleichem. Right? So then it's nothing, you know, it's just some form of a greeting, and they would have nothing. To use Shem Hashem Mamish, Shalom itself Shem Hashem, but to use Shem Hashem Mamish, like, Mamish is disgrace, Shem Shemayim.
Isn't the concept really the only real connection between me and you is that we're connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Achdus that we have together. The only real Achdus is because we're all created from Him. And if that's not clear, then any kind of connection I make with somebody else could be very superficial. I could get it wrong. It could be a very superficial greeting. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. Let's say that better. I think you said it pretty good, but let's say just a bit better. The concept of a greeting of Shalom Aleichem, and itaki should be makbid to say Shalom Aleichem when you see somebody.
Not just Shalom.
What?
Not just Shalom, not hello.
Not just hello. Especially after 3 days that you haven't seen a person, you should itaki say Shalom Aleichem. Yeah. Why? What's important about it? So the concept is one that is both a bit deep and very simple. But it goes back to things that we've been talking about quite a bit. And that is that things in this world are significant in Nitzri sticker terms. And little things can have tremendously big significance. Things that seem to be just perchance and insignificant, when put in perspective of the Olam Haba, that leaks in every little piece of Olam Hazeh, they can then see how important things are. Two Jews walked down the street and bumped into each other. How are you? How are you? How are the kids? How are the kids? Hi, bye, bye. What happened? Nothing. Two good people met and they haven't seen each other for how are things? Fine, wonderful, goodbye. What's happened? Nothing. That's the way we think.
No, there's a mixture of things. Okay.
What?
They make sure everyone's okay.
So, at best, I mean, at worst, we, instead of just walking right past him and totally ignoring him, we somehow realize that that would be mamish disgrace to just a human being. And I have to pay him mas dibur. Right? I must give him my attention span of 13 seconds to say, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? How are the kids? Family? Fine? Business? Fine? Oh, good. Wonderful. I paid my price and now I can go on my life. Somehow paying attention, being nice, great. That's also true. But then again, it would be very insignificant, and whatever words you want to use, or motions you want to use, or different formats for expression of the greetings, it's important. You just want to show them that I recognize that you exist. Nice, hi. You're still important enough to me. You're more important than the cat that walked by. Right? Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. Oh, you know, you mean something to me. Fine. So if you want to say that in Swahili, it's fine, you know. The main thing is that, I recognize your existence. I did something to show in some type of mannerism that I do that I'm greeting you. Very nice. I think every human being in the world recognizes the value of that. There's no mokum for shame Hashem in there, and I don't think there's anywhere else outside of Torah that you're going to find such a concept of using Shem Hashem in the greeting. Because it's a nice thing. Okay? A person who doesn't do it is not a mensch. Right? It's a basic human nicety. Well, that would be if Olam Hazeh ends in Olam Hazeh. If Olam Hazeh was a safe, self-contained world that has a significance and ends at the end of 70 years, it has a significance and value to the end of my nose. It has a significance and value only in terms of the physical, that I can touch and sense. So then meeting a individual that right now I have no need for him and he has no need for me, I can do him no favor and he needs no favor for me. Okay. We just happen to meet without any intention. Would be an extreme example of something totally unimportant. If you came home and you said, do you know who I met today? Good, chit-chat, great, so what? Okay. Instead of saying I saw 14 red cats and 3 black ones, I said I met so plum, great. Okay. Big deal, so what? Did you talk about anything important? Did you do anything important? Is anything, are you going to follow up? No, nothing, you just happened, nothing wrong. If you see the world on the physical terms, if you see the world only on what goes on the surface, this is a classical, extreme example of utter meaninglessness. Mikra at its best, or worst, however you want to call it. Just, I happened to bump into John. Right? And I said hello. Nice. Yeah. Comes to Torah and teaches us that nothing is insignificant. And the Torah always goes out of its way to emphasize this in the pinnacles of insignificantness, of seemingly insignificantness. And it goes around to stress, and Boaz felt that it needed to be, he was the Gadol Hador, he was the Rosh Sanhedrin, and he made a special takana to make it even stronger. The importance and the greatness of this moment, the significance. It is so significant, high and holy, and so important that there's mokum for Shem Hashem to be brought into this meeting. Nowadays, I think the scientists are starting to understand what power is contained in the meaning of two very small particles of reality. Some micro, with all those zeros with the minus in the front, you know, point on the gonish, right? Protons, proctons, quartons, I don't know what they call these fellows anymore. Right? If two of them happen to collide somewhere, like in one of these machines, right? So that can give up unbelievable energies and forces relative to the smallness of these things. That's a gashmistic of form, of expression of the concept that we're trying to understand. In Ruchnis, it's much easier to understand and much more powerful. Every individual is a whole world. He is a whole entity of Ruchnis, a whole neshama. His whole entity has meaning. He's a sun that gives off a aurora of his reality and affects everything that comes into contact with him. The other person is equally so, a whole world, a whole neshama, a whole power system, a sun that gives off energy and expression in every direction. When two Jews meet in the street, we have worlds in collision. We have worlds in connection. We have an opportunity for a unification, for a relationship, for combining of forces, for an expression of the unity of all of the compound components of the Rebbeinu Shlomo's complex world. When Reuven meets Shimon, so two things could happen. Either he, like we said every time, if he sees himself as the center of the world, so then Reuven has met Shimon. And as far as Shimon is concerned, Shimon has met Reuven. So Reuven's meaning of Shimon, oh, Reuven, here, Reuven, the world is Reuven. Now all of a sudden there's this thing called Shimon flying into the world. What are you doing here, Shimon? Do you have any role to play? Are you positive, negative? Are you for or against? What am I going to get out of it? What, even maybe what can I do for it? But the concept is, the reality is me and all this, this foreigner coming in, and we have to see what we're going to do with that. Usually, the reason why people, when they say, how are you, don't really care how you are and don't listen. And if, the worst thing, somebody asks you how you are and you start telling them, try it once. So, how are you? I say, well, not so great today. I had a problem. And telling you your problems, like, you know, they're not going to ask you the next time. Because the last thing they want to know is how you are. What do they really want? They want niceties because they don't want to. They don't want to feel like, you know, you're not a mensch kind of thing. But they really want to get along with their... They want to continue Reuven. Reuven's a world. It's a whole world. It's a whole existence, a whole activity. And there's no Shimon in that world. There's Reuven in that world. When he has a chavrusa, so that's part of Reuven. He has a wife, he has children, he has neighbors. He has, that's all part of Reuven's world. But all of a sudden, Shimon landed in this unexpected place. He has no role to play here. What is he doing here? So really what I want to do is nicely get him to go. Yes. Yeah. Wherever you came from, go back. Get out of my way. You are Shimon, and this is Reuven's town. The animals have territories. And they can be very, very friendly to like animals. Until somebody infringes on their territory. And if somebody infringes on their territory, the beginning of the process, this has been documented many times, there's very, really nice ways that they use to try to convince them just to go on with life. Okay. It's only if the fellow doesn't get the point, and then they can start a little baring the teeth or whatever else that uses to convince them that this is Reuven. Shimon will find another corner. This is Reuven's town. the reality of the world, there's only two ways. There's nothing a person could do to escape this. There's only two basic ways how a person could view the essence of reality. His own reality. Either he is the center of his own world, and everything else that exists around is satellites that go around that center, including the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Could be a very big satellite, but satellite. Or he recognizes that he is one of the many satellites that go around the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's world. If a person is not in contact with the fact that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the center of all existence, and that I am only a satellite of expression of one aspect of the total of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's world and desires, then really Shimon is a problem. Even he's not threatening. He doesn't mean anything. All he wanted to say is good morning. There are times when you can actually see this. There are people that you walk down the street and you see them, you say good morning, and they attack you.
That's good, man.
Yeah, well, I just say good morning. I'm not trying to take your wallet. I just say good morning. I don't mean anything. I just good morning. Right? If that person, when does it happen? A person is very wrapped up in himself, for whatever reason, usually negative reasons. Then, especially if he's in a depressed or negative state of affairs, anger, or any type of negative state of affairs, then the audacity of coming and bringing in your sunshine and saying good morning is really an infringement on the state of affairs that he's established around him. Right now, this is Angriesville. Right? This is good morning business done here. So when it's very strong collision there, even if it was happened to be positive on your side, you're going to get bluntedly pushed out of there. What do you mean good morning? Don't you see I'm angry now? What's this good morning? Right now, the world is angry. Give me good morning. Get out of here. What are you doing with your good morning? What are you smiling for? We'll give you right to smile. Because in your world, maybe the sunshine, but my world is rain. You didn't hear the thunder claps? Right. You didn't hear me yelling at my wife? No. Good morning. Good morning. What happened? What did I do wrong? You invaded his territory. You brought in positive emotion into negative territory. When a person's not ready to accept that, not ready to deal with it, then he can reject even the most positive. Even worse, sometimes you can see the person has a problem. He's not angry. He's concerned. He's depressed. And you go over to him with good intentions. You want to help him out. And you're able to help him out. But you have to start a contact with him. So you went over to him. And you somehow tried to start the conversation rolling so you should get in. Get it between the teeth. Wow. He invaded his turf. Are you coming with solutions when we're now trying to be worried? Tell me what to do. You're going to tell me how to solve the problem? I'm interested right now in being involved in how impossible the problem is. And now, don't tell me. You come in different directions, you know, world in collision. Get out. Come on. The other way the world is built is when a person recognizes that he is only one factor, one angle of a whole entity, where there are millions, hundreds of aspects that all have value. And all have a role and all have a place. And all combine. And all important. And all a part of one master plan. One essence. They're all returning to mind. And nothing is b'mikra. All of the different parts that come together is because they need to interact. There's something that I need a little... If I'm a little more blue and he's a little more red... I don't have words to use, but we'll just say that there are red neshamas and green neshamas and pink, purple, polka dotted neshamas. So if I'm a little in the red and I need some purple dots or something, So the Rosh Hashanah will bring me a pink purple polka dotted neshama into my mystic. But if I'm recognizing that everything is a hashlama, everything is a combining of the Rabbi Yishlam's master plan, masterwork, of combining of all of the different koichos that exist in the world. This not only in the master great macros like a wife and a husband, where you have the whole world bringing together the world of man and the world of woman. And now we're talking about something major like a neighbor that's permanent for many years and interrelated in so many ways in the families and children. We're talking about something momentarily that lasts for 13 seconds. I walked in the street and I met Reuven. And the conversation was, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, how are you? Fine, how are you? Fine, goodbye. And that's it. The same Shalom, the same conversation everybody else has. What's the difference? The difference is Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom means peace. Shalom means combination. Shalom means harmony. You are welcome into my world. You are different. I recognize you as different. I'm me, you're you. The only way you can be welcome, you can peacefully be part of my world. You can be harmoniously part of my world if my world is not defined by the end of my nose. If the world is defined by all of the Rabbi Yishlam's world. And I am a aspect of all of that. Man is given many, many reminders that his essence is not self-contained. One of the basic definitions for manhood is medaber, is that he speaks. Our flag of identity, as opposed to all of the other existence of the world, is that we're speakers. Can you speak to yourself? is there an essence of speaking? There's borrowed things. That's thinking out loud. You can think for yourself. You mainly should think for yourself. Okay. And you can do both for yourself and for others. But speaking has its only essence, actually. It's only called, even though you could use vocal cords and make sounds. Okay. It's only considered dibur if there's a shomea. There's the ridiculousness that the goyim talked about, that if a big tree would fall down in a place and nobody heard it if it made sound. Okay. How did they get to such stupidity? Of course it made sound. Don't ask me to prove it. You don't have to prove things like that. If you have to prove things like that, go back to, I don't know. How do they make such a stupid mistake? Because where they're coming from, they were one half a step off from the truth. It's true that it will make sound regardless if it was heard or not. But it won't be speech unless there's somebody who received. Sounds of a falling tree, nothing to do with the hearer. It's totally unrelated if somebody heard it or not. But speech, if there's no shomea, there's no medaber. In the essence of man, as a medaber, he's forced to recognize, if he wants to live with the reality of his own existence, that he is not a self-contained creature. His essence, his meaning, his value is together with others, combined with the forces of all those around him. The place where this is emphasized and said openly and clearly is the first word that should be coming out of your mouth at the moment of contact with another. You've come into range. You were out of contact. You're in contact. What happens? What happened? You're in contact. What happens? So the Torah teaches us you must recognize and establish that contact on its essence, positive essence of Sholem. You must recognize that something's happening here. Two people have met. You now can function as a medaber because you're not long. If you're by yourself, you're not even a human being. You have another aspect of expression of your essence because you are now in contact with another essence that's also a medaber. So the first words have to be Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. That establishes the beginning point, the first contact, the first essence of dibur and conversation, that we are combining. We are combining forces. Shalom Aleichem. We are harmonizing. We are, how the fax machines do, they get into sync, whatever it's called, you know. Right. Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. They establish, right. They establish the what is this, what's happening here? Right. What's happening here is Shalom. What's happening here is something of ultimate significance. Two Jews are combining forces. How much combining? 2%, 1%, gone. 10 seconds. Right. Every good cook knows that that really makes the thing is not the 6 cups of sugar. It's the half a teaspoon of whatever special spice that goes in. The little things. True, there are big things that are of greater importance. But you met up with this particular individual and he put into your day one aspect of his neshama. That's going to be put together that now you're going to have a good day. You're going to have a well-rounded day. You needed that. If you didn't need it, it wouldn't have happened. If it wouldn't be significant. Are you always going to be able to figure out what significance is? Don't try. You'll go crazy. We can't live like that. We have to live normally. We're not that big. But we have to recognize that every time that we are enforced to go out of our little capsules of our little world, that's not against our essence, that's our expression of our essence. That's not an opportunity that we found our world challenged, but it's a time when we find our identity as a medaber, as a human being, as part of the Rabbeinu Shalom's master plan. Here, I have another opportunity to be plugged in, to be alive, to be existent, to be significant. So you met the person in the street. And really, you don't have anything to say to him, something to do with him, or interest in him. He has nothing to say or do with the interest with you. But you met him. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem is a bracha and a statement of fact. Statements of fact by Klai Yisrael are not descriptive, but they are active. Just like the brachas are. You create. It's not enough that physically they walked down the street and came within voice range of each other. For the neshamas to contact, for the expression of the interchange of the realities of the neshamas to take part, there has to be an active recognition and reality of that process. What do you need to do? That's no big deal. Say Shalom Aleichem. Say Shalom Aleichem.
Is the Aleichem plural the reference to that you're addressing a composite, like that there's the spiritual essence and together with the physical vehicle, or is it just a matter of speech?
It's a matter of, nothing is a matter of speech, but yeah, it's a matter of speech. Yeah. It's not plural. Just like these other things are not plural. The Shualim is also not plural. But leave it. It's good. Show. Boyaz was machmir that it has to bring every combination, every place where two become unified in one, in the greatest way or in the littlest way. That's expression of the Rabbeinu Shalom's existence and expression. The Rabbeinu Shalom is what brings it all together. It says in Gemara, the end of Tainus, that Soibe, also Lovoi, also Kosh Bochel Asis Michol, with Tzadikim. It's going to make a circle. And he's going to sit in the middle. He's going to come down in the middle of the circle. Yoimru, Zeh Hashem Kevinu Loi. Chofetz Chaim says in that Gemara that nowadays all the tzaddikim are also standing on a circle. But since the Rabbeinu Shalom hasn't come down in the middle, so they're all standing on the circle and pointed that way. So this one's going that direction, that one's going the opposite direction. Everything seems to be out of sync and out of harmony. When the Rabbeinu Shalom is going to come down in the middle of the circle, they're all going to turn around and say, oh, all of them, from all the different sides, from all the different aspects, turn around and say, Ze Hashem kivinu lo. But tonight that they were tzaddikim, that they were taka mental Hashem shemayim. Then all of the Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Chaim will all come together. They'll all unify. You all see that it was all part of the Rebbeinu Shem's plan. He needed these types and those types. He needed this ones and those ones. He needed all the different types in the Shammas Doria, all the different Shvotim Doria in Klai. So he needed them all. Right? That before the Rebbeinu Shem expresses his Achdus clearly, we can't see how they all work together. That's a problem with our eyeglasses. We can't see it all. So that wasn't clarified to us. But in a general way, we have to recognize that every Jew that we meet is significant. And that every contact is a powers of energies and worlds, in not in collision, but in combination. There's an opportunity for the Rebbeinu Shalom's koyach of the unification of all of the different forces that make up the world. This is a little bit, as much as we can do for now, the concept of what does it mean, Shalom Aleichem. Now this is no little thing. Boaz wanted, exactly when that tikkun stopped, but Bechol Oven wanted that it should be Mamish B'Shem Hashem. Not saying, like we said, Hashem, but with the Shem, like you say in the Barucha. Greeting the person was something, it was a religious act, it was something that was done with the Shem Shemayim B'Peh Moli, just like saying a Barucha. You know, we lost that Darga and we went down again to Shalom Aleichem.
What does it mean, any person? I mean, you walk into Yeshiva, right? You pass 15 people in about 2 seconds.
So that's halacha. That's the one person you haven't seen in 3 days. I was in one yeshiva where they were machmed. They marked that when you came back from, say, from vacation, you're all years already, 17 years, been in the same yeshiva together. But you were 2 weeks at home, you came back. Each person went around to the whole base measure and said Shalom Aleichem. And then for the whole Zman, you're together. But you were gone. You came back. Somebody goes home. For a period of time, when he came in, everybody said Shalom Aleichem. Doesn't not everybody? That's more matukan. That's the way it really should be.
You try to be locked in with the chodin every morning. Yeah. When you walk into the room, say Shalom Aleichem. Everybody
says,
you see more
than
many people.
I don't know if every day somebody you see every day you don't say Shalom Aleichem.
What's the problem? Why not?
The same. There's halachas. There's some gedolim. Right? Otherwise, you can be doing it all day, and there's other things that we have to do.
How do you get your rav?
What?
How do you get your rav?
That's how another sikh. There's a machlokes in that. The question of whether you're supposed to be magnum shalom to
rav. You're not saying shalom, but was it within 3 days? Is there some another mishap that you match all? Shouldn't say hi, what
are
you doing yesterday?
Some interaction. What's the idea of three? Three always means something that's still in contact. You don't have to establish contact. You're not establishing a new relationship. You haven't ended the old one. You continue it. In the middle of a conversation, you'll say Shalom Aleichem again. The fact that you were home at night, he went home at night, now you're starting the Chavrusa the next day again, so you're continuing. So the Shalom Aleichem is not good. Shalom Aleichem is a starting point. You don't start over again every 10 minutes. So there's a shir. How much? Love it. Three. There's always something's connected up to three. Three what? 3 days, 3 years, 3 months, 3 days. 3 days. If you say something, I don't know, that's besides. It's not so good. If you didn't disconnect, that you have to reconnect.
Okay.
That's the difference. That's it. The whole life, and always succeeding in doing tonight, hopefully, to some degree, is to see that this is something that the mission should talk about. There's what to be talked about. There's a subject called Sholem. So we'll suffice with that, and by no means have we finished the subject. Right? Sometimes have we said all that there is to be said. I've said more than I know. Right? But there's much more than that. The significance of it goes well beyond. But we said we have an inkling. We've opened up a little hole and we look through the keyhole and we see, oh, there's a big room over there. I can't get clear exactly what's going on over there, but I see there's something significant, there's something very important. On this concept, that concept is pre the Mishnah. On that, the Mishnah teaches us, the Tana teaches us that there's two things. If you want to do this right, there are two things. One is that you should be a Magdim, and two, L'chol Adar. Next time, we'll see if we can go into understanding what's the specific significance of being the Magdim. Well, there always has to be one who starts and one who ends. So, once me, now time him. What difference does it make where it starts from? What do I have to be the initiator? What's the difference? We need a combination. A combination of both sides this time. I'll start, he'll start. No. Magdim, why is that important? And the whole other name is already obvious, but we'll talk about it.
Because a bubble feels closed away that we can't use the phrase?
No, because he's not able to contact.
That's what I mean by closed away.
Now he feels closed away. He is closed
away.
He's not in contact. He's out. Yeah. He's not functioning right now.
It's just not applicable.
He's in his world? He's not being invasion, he's in his world?
No, he's not.
He's been cut away.
He's in a certain way not alive right now. He's not functioning. He's not part of life. He has some connection to death right now. Life is all connected in it, but if a close one of his actually died, then he's also related to death right now. So we can't handle it. He's dealt with differently. We always deal with every person according to what the situation is, according to the reality. So it would be a nicety, then Adarabah, he needs to be more nice. You have to be more nice there. They're not niceties. Right now you can't combine with him. Don't combine with him. He's in things that you don't want to be involved with. You're not interested in trying to be join him in his avelis, chas v'shalom. He'll take care of the avelis, and you don't want no part of it. You'll be the menachem, and he'll be the ovel. That's fine. you're not interested in joining him in his avelis. Say you don't want contact. You're not connecting with him. Right? He's an avelis, and you're not. That's all.
Don't. What's the menachem?
Is different. Not combining. You'd be menachem. Yeah. That's a different thing. We're not going to Tenechim Avelim right now. Right? You have a role to play. Yeah. It's important. So contact and non-contact doesn't mean that you're not, I don't know you exist. I don't mean that contact. It means there's no combination of forces. You're not joining into one existence. He's in a different existence, you're in a different existence.
And that joining is what we're talking about?
Yeah, Sholem. Sholem is harmonizing, it's becoming completed. Two pieces fit together. And they complete each other. Shalom. You're right. I said exactly. Yeah, well, after right. But you're right that's you're bringing the right thing in the right place, which is we have to understand what pinchas is, what killing is, in that case, and who was saying shalom. Prisi shalom means that the Rabbanim shalom said shalom to pinchas. Do you hear that? Do you know what it means that the Rabbanim Shalom tells the person Shalom? You know what that means? That Pinchas Elio Lomais. How can you die? You're connected to the Etzem of life. What are you going to do? How can you be a dyer if you're connected to life? The Rabbanim Shalom said Shalom. That's it. He's not going to die. He'll metamorphose. He'll turn into Elio somehow. And then I'll turn into whatever happens when Elio goes up in the Merkovelesh to Shemayim, whatever you want to call that. But not dying. You can't die if you had it. Rizzi Sholem. Can't die. He became a special super relationship with the Rabbanim Shalom that stood him apart from everything. Why that exact Maisa brought out this reaction? The concept of Rizzi Sholem over there.
Yeah.
That's not exactly the same. Avinif Khan. Thanks. Tough.